Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination into Elijah. Remember, Elijah was a man just like us, and he was given in the book of James as an example of someone who prayed fervently, and mighty things occurred. And that's the picture for us, that if we come together and if we will pray, and if we will pray in the Spirit, and if we will do so consistently and fervently and in faith, what might the Lord do? And so if you haven't been with us previous episodes, I suggest you back up maybe, I don't know how many have there been, four, five, six, to get the context of it, because we're jumping into the end of 1 Kings 18. And this is right after fire has come down from heaven and has licked up everything. As a matter of fact, I told us we would do this. Let me back up a little further than I planned on today see if I can pick it up. Here it is, with Elijah's prayer and what happened, because we got this right at the very end yesterday. So this is 1 Kings 18, verse 36. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word." Now, this is at the end of the day, and the prophets of Baal had been worshiping all day long. They had been jumping up and down before the altar. They had been slicing themselves, cutting themselves, letting their blood flow. And remember what happened? Nothing. No one answered. No one did anything. Then it was Elijah's turn. So Elijah called upon them, and Elijah and his servant, as we're going to see later at the end of this chapter, he has somebody with him. Elijah and his servant did the tremendous task of cutting up an ox, okay, sacrificing it, putting it on wood, and then they poured water over it. Remember that? Poured water over it, and certain measures of water. It wound up being 12 measures of water. And they dug a trench around to collect all the water. Remember, this was during the time of a famine, so the water would have been highly valued, a tremendous resource. And he's offering this to God. He offers it to God. Now he's praying this prayer, okay? He continues, verse 37, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again." Folks, I cannot reiterate the importance of that enough right there. He's praying to God, saying, "God, answer me. I've only done these things that you've told me to do." This is quite like what you see Jesus saying about himself in John 17. He said, "All these things I've done at your word." That's what he says at the end of 36. "Lord, you're the one that told me to do this. That's the reason I have done it. So I ask that you now answer me, O Lord. Answer me, that the people here will know, first of all, that you are God, and then that they will know that you have turned their heart back again, that it is God that is turning their heart." Again, it's not because they're about to see a tremendous thing here. They're about to see the offering consumed and all the water and everything, okay? Not because of this, but because the Lord is turning their heart. As a matter of fact, in the same way that fire is going to come down from the Lord. Well, let's just look at it. Verse 38, the next verse. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." In the same way that the fire of the Lord comes down and consumes that, it consumed the burnt offering, okay, that's the ox, the wood that it was upon, consumed the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. In the same way that God did that, he does the same thing with us. When we call upon him, repent and confess and say, "Lord, save me," he consumes all of the past. He consumes all of the sin. Okay, he consumes every bit of it. We know that water will wash clean. Fire purifies, right? Fire purifies. So verse 39, "When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" To which I always go, "Well, you reckon?" Verse 40, "Then Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.'" So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Why did he kill them there? Why did he take them down the brook? The brook was what? Totally dried up. But he offered them as a sacrifice to the Lord because the Lord told him to. And literally their blood would have flowed into that brook. Now let's continue on with the rest of the story, verse 41. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, drink, for there is a sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So he's lifting this thing. Remember what Elijah has said to Ahab to start with. It's not going to rain until I declare that it's going to rain. So now he's telling Ahab, hey, go up, celebrate. Go have a party. Eat, drink, be merry, because there's a sound of the roar of the shower. Ahab believed him. How do I know that? Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. He went up to it. He did it. I sort of suspect it wasn't a hard thing to convince, right? He went to celebrate. But verse 42 says this, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He had just declared that it was going to rain, and he did so, I believe, at the word of the Lord. But now he goes to the top of the mountain, bows down in the most humbling of positions, puts his face between his knees on the ground, and he starts to intercede, and he calls upon the Lord. Then he said to his servant, verse 43, that's how we know Elijah had a servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up, looked, and said, there's nothing. And he said to him, go back seven times. Seven times Elijah prayed and then sent his servant to go look to see if you see storm clouds arising from the sea, coming from the west. Nothing. It came about at the seventh time that the servant said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up and say to Elijah, to Ahab. So this is Elijah saying to the servant, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. So it's just a small cloud the size of a hand on the horizon starting to pop up. Elijah saying, okay, here comes the rain. He sends his servant, tells Ahab, hey, you better get in your chariot, better get going, because when this shower comes, it's going to get muddy. Verse 45, in a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. He did what Elijah told him to do. I mean, you know, when you kill the prophets, when fire comes down from heaven, when all this stuff's happening, it probably starts to give, a little pause to what you thought you believed. Now, the last verse, 1 Kings 18, listen to this. So Ahab's riding to Jezreel. Verse 46, then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. The power and the strength of the Lord was upon Elijah. We don't know how old Elijah was. We know that he was provided for by God with food and drink and everything. But here, the hand of the Lord was upon him. And because of that, he girded up his loins, which means, man, he tied things up and he took off running. He took off running and he outran Ahab to Jezreel. He ran faster than Ahab did, and he got to Jezreel before he did. And remember, Ahab was on the motorized thing here. He had a chariot. Elijah, a man just like us, but he did two things. He believed the word of God, and he prayed. That's really where we are as the Western Church, folks. Do we really, really believe the word of God? And do we really pray? If you look at most of what the organizational church does, I think the answer would probably be no. They would say, oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. To which I would say, yeah, but your life reflects otherwise. Tell you what, I think we'd do well to examine ourselves. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for the time. You know, as always, you can go to my website, check out the daily blog, the daily podcast, the weekly Bible studies that are there, and a bunch of other stuff. There's music there that we've done through the years and things like that. And there's also a place, if the Lord moves upon your heart to help support these times, you can do it right there. Thank you so much. I'll see you next time.